You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Tamati Kruger is the chair of Te Uru Wera Board and chair of the Tūhoe Tribal Office, Te Uru Taumatua. When the original Level 4 lockdown was announced, Tūhoe announced closures of freedom camping areas in the region. Since then, they've also set up some checkpoints. A number of iwi throughout the motu have set up their own checkpoints as a way of reducing the possibility of the virus being brought into those areas. There has been varied responses to these, and they are indeed operating in a varied nature. Tūhoe have since announced that in the shift to Level 3, much of their Level 4 restrictions in place will remain the same. This is because the risk of a devastating outbreak in their community remains high due to the access to healthcare in the area as well as pre-existing conditions that disproportionately affect the Māori. I asked Tamati if we could have a chat about some of these issues and started by asking how his rāhui period has been at home.
We're tolerating each other. We now know all of our first names. My washing up times come around really, really quickly. I now volunteer to mow my own lawns, so I'll have something to do. But otherwise, no, my whānau is really good. I live at Taneatua, and I take a walk around the town most mornings, and generally it feels as if people understand and are committed to Level 4 behaviours. I think the most difficult thing is keeping the 2 metre distance, you know, being all related. We do more of a kind of a 1 foot kind of social distancing. But other than that, there is a general respect and understanding for all of the changes that have to take place. And like everywhere else in the country, it's understandably difficult. And people are worried about the future, I think, and the changes that take place. But immediately within the Tūhoe Rohe, there is no worry about food supply around getting assistance and help if necessary.
And in terms of, I guess, that supplies even and people having what they need, has that been okay as far as, you know, to your knowledge?
Yeah, very, very quickly okay. I think being very rural, from an Auckland point of view, really isolated, but from our view, very normal, there is an inbuilt behavior of being self-reliant and doing what you can for yourself. You know, you live in places like Ruatahuna and Waikaremoana and Matahi Waimana, knowing that there is not a hospital nearby, there is not a GP nearby, so you live with that. And you then have a lifestyle and a behaviours that say to yourself you have to do things for yourself more. So not a worry at all with food supply.
So going back to that initial, when the government announced the Level 4 lockdown or rāhui, in terms of making that shift, what did that look like for Te Uru Wera? What was that when Level 4 kicked in?
Well, we chanced ourselves finding out whether we were a good iwi or not so much a good iwi. And iwi is a kinship organisation that prides itself with being there ready to assist and help everyone in that community. We were, I think, being challenged by how much of the last 200 years we have been colonised and now very dependent on the Crown for everything. So when Level 4 came around, we were testing our organisation, our infrastructure, our connectivity and our willingness to be there for each other. And things like COVID-19 are really, really good trialing and testing stations for that. And I have to say that we've come out pretty well. We had a bit of an awkward, rusty start in the first 2 weeks, but quickly people came forward volunteering, taking responsibility for a whole lot of stuff. And so generally now, Rohe, people are feeling that their iwi has been a great advantage and a great inspiration to them.
In that kind of shift, I suppose, and again, throughout those 4 weeks, my understanding is initially there weren't any sort of what's being called checkpoints set up,
yes,
but there have been some set up since then. So what are those looking like?
We avoided Googling it, and we avoided imitating what other people were doing. The first thing we did was we had a discussions amongst our tribal community leaders to make sure that if we were to do checkpoints, we understood very clearly what their purpose was and if they were going to produce any efficiencies in stemming the spread of the virus. And thirdly, did we have the capacity to be able to undertake that with people that we could trust would be sending the right messages? Then out of that discussion, we then got an overall support for it from our tribal communities. Then we corresponded with the police just to check out the legality of it and the general do's and don'ts, getting the wording right, getting the behavior right, getting the information right when you are stopping road users, and we can understand it's quite intimidating. And once we got that all sorted out, then we put that into place. Yes. Mm. So people are, I think, in our rohe anyway, we decided on 4 checkpoints, one in Waimana, Ruatoki, Ruatahun, and Waikaremoana. And it was clearly in support of the containment strategy, self-isolation, the distancing, and around about the good health of everyone.
And I guess what would you say to the sort of public backlash there has been to these checkpoints, not necessarily individualising any of them, but also, again, not speaking generally, because there are different ones operating differently throughout the motu, but generally that sort of attitude that is put out there that, you know, these are illegal and people kind of operating to their own standards or their own laws within their own rohe, te mea te mea, what putting that into the spotlight saying, oh, that's not allowed?
Well, I don't know how they have operated outside of the Te Uruwera rohe, but I can say that we were very, very careful and prudent in visualising what that would be all about for ourselves. There was, of course, that awkward starting it off because it was all new thing, but we've largely had praise from commuters who were very, very cooperative and understanding of what we were doing. And the other thing is it has helped to limit the unnecessary travel of our own people. So we found that those that were breaching the rules were our own people. And so our own people seeing our own checkpoints became a very, very effective way of rebalancing everything. So we have been very careful about being polite at these road checks, being very clear and exact around our messages, and telling people we're not about enforcement. We're not the police. We're not NZTA. We're not claiming we own the road. all of those things. Because immediately when people are intimidated, they go straight there. they ask what authorities do you have, etc. So, yeah.
But I guess you spoke to earlier around that responsibility you have to your iwi. So a lot of what you guys have spoken about when making these decisions is that disproportionate effect that could occur to Māori. So in terms of inequity, I suppose you should say, and inequitable health outcomes, while there hasn't been a sort of wide infection in Māori communities, the possibility of that could be devastating. So there's almost a sort of responsibility to ensure that on another level, right, than what the government is bringing to the table, because there has been Māori scholars who have pointed out that a lot of what the government is bringing is a kind of one size fits all in some ways. So where is that kind of, that there is almost like a need perhaps for certain groups to be operating in a way which cares for the specific needs of that group?
Mm-hmm. Well, everything you say is makes sense to us. The first thing that Tūhoe considered was, were the announcements made by the Prime Minister and the government, were they generally acceptable to us? Did they ring with a tone of caring for everyone generally? And immediately our response was yes. So we supported both the level 3 and the move to level 4 for the reasons that were stated. After that point, we charged ourselves with being responsible for the enacting of that and any other standard within our rohe. We gave ourselves that responsibility to do that. We did not wait around for somebody to ring us up and authorize us. We didn't think that was going to ever be the case. Why did we do that? Because we are the best at dealing with our own people. Nobody knows anything more than ourselves as to how to influence our own people within our own community. Secondly, we believe that this is our duty and our job to serve our people. The government certainly has some duties, but on the ground within Te Uru Wera, they will never ever be as effective as we are. So already then there was a basis of cooperation, collaboration and agreement with the reasons for level 4. We operated on that basis and then applied our translations of that on the ground. And that has worked out. I do not know yet of an issue where we are at difference with the government.
Is there anything else you would like to add?
Possibly that this whole change for all of us has accentuated thoughts and revision of what family and home means, and that has been really good, that we've been all given time to reevaluate what home and family is and also the connection between health and nature and our connection with our environment, that I think that has emerged as well for many, many, if not most people, and an assessment of our lifestyle, as people call it the economy, but it's really lifestyle. And these are wonderful things to be put in a place where we have to reconsider our principles and our values and our lifestyle. And as we, in the next month or so, study our livelihood and the sustainability of our lifestyles.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.